Joining me in a studio, Adam Pantanowitz. He's an electrical and biomedical engineer. We've been chatting about ethics in the new world. It's a very, very complex subject. And with the rate of development of technology, of innovation, the whole world is becoming very, very confusing. And an area that I'd like to chat about this morning, especially because, Adam, I've got a 8-kilometer run on Sunday.
Another one?
Yeah, no. This one, I think I've got a chance of winning. It's not in Boksburg. I do run faster in Boksburg because I'm always scared that people are going to chase me and hurt me. But no, this one is in that whole St. Andrews area, very pretty, but lots of hills. So, but you know what? If I've got a hill, other people have got a hill, right? that's why I look at it. I'm hoping, to win. The 8-kilometer. But I also don't want to be unreasonable and unfair. I don't want to have an unfair advantage.
That makes sense.
You know, I'm
sense.
Very, very concerned about this type of thing.
Well, you are a finely tuned athletic machine. And
thank you for saying that.
As a result of that.
Thank you. Right.
I think you are at an inherent advantage. I don't think it's actually
all
fair.
Right, and now I feel like you're being a little sarcastic and possibly even rude. And if I was sensitive.
Not at all.
All right. It's obviously the world of sport is a very, very complex one when it comes to unfair advantage. And I'm very, very confused. You know my view. I'm free market. I've got a free market approach to this. I say let everybody do whatever they want. They can take all the steroids they want. If they drop dead at kilometer 21 on of a marathon, that's their problem. Then next time, don't take those steroids.
So it's sort of an evolutionary idea to it.
Yes, I guess. Because I'm not sure how we can continue to police it. We saw what happened, with Armstrong, with the blood and oxygen levels. And we've seen accusations that Oscar Pistorius's blades were longer than a Brazilian's blades.
Yes.
That's not a metaphor. That's actually his blades, right?
Right. It's very tangible. You can see it or measure it,
Right.
And some of these things are so hard to measure. So.
Correct. Help me through
I guess we're trying to understand. If we could figure it out, what is the fastest an unbridled human could really go? How would, if you were able to take all the drugs in the world to enhance your fitness, how fast could you go?
That way, I do take whatever I possibly, if they did a sample test afterwards, they'd probably just find lots of coffee. And of course the Crestor and all of the other Jewish drugs.
Iliadin. I'm just thinking that at its fundamental, haven't we always had inherent differences in how we, for instance, grew up and how we lived at altitude versus not living at altitude?
Correct.
So this idea around what is artificial, what is not natural, has become so blurred. It has become so, the boundary is so blurred. So therefore, does it not make sense to look at lifting all of those? But then again, last week we spoke about designer babies. So I've just been thinking, what happens if we were able to adjust someone's DNA so that they had cartilage of a cheetah?
Right, exactly.
For instance.
Right,
and they became,
right.
Fairly elastic, and they were able to do these amazing movements with their limbs, and they could therefore be much faster. So that is an utterly complex line. So what is the definition then of human in competition if we're able to enhance ourselves so much? And if it's not just drugs that are enhancing us, but we're changing our very DNA, where do we draw the line? If we're not changing DNA, then the enhancements could be enhancements that come in from the outside world when one is living.
Right.
But then one gets advantages potentially from
everywhere.
Biomechanical implants or from from everywhere, or just simply living at altitude and being able to bear that. So therefore, I think this is a very hard thing to define. And either you need to be a purist and say, on the one hand, everyone must have absolutely equal conditions, and therefore everyone should live and eat the same things, live in the same area.
Right. Which is obviously completely impractical and impossible. And we've also seen, in areas like China and Russia where people are groomed from a very, very young age to represent their country, whether it's in gymnastics or athletics or whatever it would be. They also are schooled, and that's their whole life purpose. Is that an unfair advantage? Certainly they've had an unfair life, but that's something completely different. How do you possibly, and who measures it? Because each country is charged with setting its own laws.
And one can't really measure one's past. So the idea is, if we looked at, you know, there was that documentary on Netflix. Did you see it?
Which one?
The one that reveals Russian doping scandals.
And I didn't see that.
Effectively shows, it's an unbelievable documentary. It's so worth watching. It's about a cyclist who then, you know, gets somehow drawn in when he's doing journalism into this world.
Wow. Yeah.
And there's what he uncovers is an alleged state doping scheme. So these countries, you know, that take their sports to the extreme that you mentioned, and even just the training regimes without ideas of doping, that is at some level advantage.
Well, I gave that example last week. South African swimmers are at a disadvantage over American swimmers. Kenyan runners are at an advantage over American run. You know, it's just there's a natural advantage and maybe an unnatural one. Unsigned says, great topic, but it's a disgrace that they wanted to sanction Caster Semenya. So Caster Semenya is also an interesting one, although not quite relevant to what we're talking about now, I guess, if I think it through.
I agree. Not quite relevant, but a great example of this topic. An unbelievable athlete, Caster Semenya. She's an exceptional runner, and she's got a different background, and her background has enabled her greatly in sport. And I guess if we're going to look at this topic, we need to then consider what are the boundaries, and the boundaries are impossible to define in this topic. Projecting forward. The types of competition that are, you know, I'll give you another example. If we look outside of running, for instance, esports or gaming.
Yes.
It's on the up and up in terms of, I think it's the third most followed sport right now.
I believe
so. And it's just increasing. The prize money is astronomical.
In fact, Gimple says, if there was a guilt or anxiety Olympics, us Jews would have a huge advantage from DNA, from our DNA. Exactly. But he makes a very funny comment, but he's actually right. Because we would have that, because that's something that is particular to us, I guess.
I can't comment.
Don't. We'll leave that for Thursday for our psychologist in private practice. But the point is that there are advantages that are inherent, and there are advantages that are, I guess, societal because of facilities and training and expertise. And then there are advantages, I guess, that are, what we've called unfair, which is drug related, which is all of
enhancements.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if I can just loop back to that idea of esports, recently, they've created machine learning or AI that effectively can beat world champions, the professional gamers. So the boundary there again is blurred because we're talking about human competition, but how would we feel about being in a running race with, for instance, not just a cyborg, but maybe a robot? Would a robot be able to compete? Would it make sense for a robot to be pitted against humans?
Right.
And it makes me think a lot about Oscar Pistorius. You know, you mentioned him earlier.
So give me your thoughts on that.
I think I have a very controversial view on him. Well, I certainly did a number of years ago when we used to discuss Oscar Pistorius when he was at the peak of his career. I think that it has to be said to start the conversation on this that Oscar Pistorius, you know, he overcame his disabilities, which was an exceptional thing to be able to transcend such a disadvantage, such an inherent disadvantage. And I think that has to be commended and acknowledged greatly. To go from being disabled to competing at such a level
100%
is phenomenal.
Now, agreed.
That said, if we looked at this from a purely physiological, biomechanical perspective, there was a boundary that was potentially crossed by allowing Oscar Pistorius to compete in the mainstream. I don't think it's potentially crossed. I think that's been obliterated. Because when Oscar Pistorius runs, he would build up logically, and I would imagine it's measurably, less lactic acid in his muscles because he wouldn't need to power the muscles of his legs. Those have been replaced by blades. He's in some way augmented. And I don't want to use the term advantage. He's certainly it's hard to
right, comment because, that he's only advantage. Because it's a political word, advantaged. So that's why you don't want to use it. But in the true meaning of the word, actually you're saying he had an advantage by not having limbs because limbs, have pain and cramps and joint, and they take a lot of energy, etc. So let's call it what it is. You know,
it's, they may not be optimally aerodynamic.
Correct.
And that this was a controversial view a number of years ago when I used to say this to people, and I would be flabbergasted. How can you think that? You know, this guy's yes, it was an amazing feat to get onto that world stage.
Right. This,
but the decision to compete is so significant. The decision to allow that competition is so significant because you've got someone who is augmented, who is visibly augmented, not just, you know, doping in the background and being, going unnoticed, but very clear augmentation that we allowed for competition. So what does that really do to the future of competition?
I'm chatting to Adam Pantanovitz. We're speaking about the future of competition. We're speaking about unfair advantage. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think that Oscar Pistorius had an unfair advantage? Unsigned says, would the Beatles have been as good if they hadn't been creative dopers? I get that. it's a fair question as well. So, but going back to Oscar Pistorius, are you suggesting that he should have been allowed to compete in the Paralympics because that is the playing field effectively where other people in a similar position with blades or with other disadvantages and advantages, it kind of balances out, but not in the main, in the main Olympics?
I think what I'm suggesting is that maybe these paradigms are constructs from a different time and that we don't any longer need to have these artificial boundaries of saying Olympics versus Paralympics. I think that people who are at a natural disadvantage, I believe the Paralympics are wonderful and important.
And, yeah, you know, I know you're not suggesting otherwise, but you're just saying that some of these things presents a problem. I guess to the same extent, what about people who compete in a beauty competition and have had plastic surgery, breast augmentation, liposuction? I don't know if it's allowed or not allowed. I've never really looked into it, and I think beauty competition should disappear the way I don't know what, It's the same question, isn't it?
It is, and I hadn't thought of that before. It's a great point, and I think that beauty competitions, they're, you know, talk about advantage. I think that the very definition of what people perceive to be someone who would win a beauty competition, there's inherently some, a lot of work and advantage that goes into that to create that person.
Right, because how does it differ if a person deprives himself of food and spends 4 hours a day on a Stairmaster and has every personal coach and training coach to somebody who just has liposuction, still goes through pain? You know, is it different at the end of the day? And science says, is it about advantage versus disadvantage, or is it about not being equal? Great question. I don't know what the answer to that
Deep
is.
Deep thinker.
Who are you? Sign your name, darn it, because you know how to think. Is it about advantage versus disadvantage, or is it about not being equal? So it can't be about not being equal, because equality isn't something that you could possibly look at. You can't.
You can only look at equality in terms of a singular dimension. So one could look at it in terms of an economic dimension, or one could look at it in terms of, has this person never ever been exposed to anything but their own physiology outside?
Right, exactly.
And if we were to create a level playing field in the truest sense, we would have to have those absurd conditions imposed. and really look at the raw physiology of an individual. Really just say, this is the raw physiology. This is the genetic makeup. It's all, you know, based on the throw of the dice. And this person emerged as the greatest champion human being in 10 different competitions.
Right.
And therefore they are the most physiologically sound athletes on the planet.
Right.
That doesn't really exist anymore at all. Doesn't exist at all.
Neil says, Howard, the older the barn gets, the more paint it needs.
Huh?
What? Neil, what do you say? Is he calling me old? Zanati, is Neil calling me old?
I think so,
eh?
It's not
he's
you.
Just calling me like an old barn. is that what he's saying? Neil, can you imagine if I were sensitive? The older the barn gets, the more paint it needs. Gosh, all right. Well, yes, I guess that is true.
Is it though?
I don't know. Because sometimes you like that old authentic look, right?
It needs just as much paint because it's the same surface area. Don't put Dulux on the Hilux.
Don't put Dulux on a Hilux. Right. Okay. So I have no idea where that just went. I'd love your thoughts. 3451 9 or 061-895-1019. We are talking about unfair competition. When a couple of weeks ago when you were in studio, we spoke to a guy, Daniel Masfield, and he runs this organization, an operation called DNA. Analysis, where they take a look at your DNA and all of that. So after the show, I actually made an arrangement. I went there and I've had a swab done, and today I get my feedback. So I might actually find either that A, I'm related to Elizabeth Warren and am part Native American,
right.
Or I might find that actually I'm a real athlete that just hasn't explored. What's Zanati? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, carry on.
Thank you very much. Who hasn't really exploited my full potential yet. I'm going to find that out later today. So don't worry. I told you, you finally tuned. Very, very finally. Well, I think I'm going to tune it. The point is this, is that if I really did want to win the Sunday 8-kilometer run, and I'm now going for all my DNA testing, and they're telling me, okay, Howard, you need to, this is what you need to eat. These are your recovery things. This is what your DNA says. It's am I advantaged over Zanati, who's going to have a bowl of cornflakes and pop over to the race to run?
Absolutely. I mean, you're basically looking at your code, you're looking at which notes to hit in your unique physiology, and you're hitting those notes in a measured, quantitative way. You're going to be at a massive advantage in terms of your run.
Is it an unfair advantage?
So the science is available. There's nothing certainly that I can imagine that would exclude you in terms of the code of ethics and the rule sets in,
right.
For instance, the Olympics, whether or not that is the boundary or whether or not that is the template that we should look at. I don't know.
Right.
But you are certainly going to be an advantage in this race because you are taking measurements of yourself and then you're hitting those specific notes and physiological points that will make you a great runner.
Right. I mean, Maggie says, and she's absolutely right, we're going to go to news and we'll come back to this soon after there to wrap it up. But Maggie says, Howard, please can you discuss new golf equipment? Nick Price claimed that it has ruined the sport. These are such great questions.
They are phenomenal questions. And, I mean, certainly your equipment when you're a sports person plays a huge role. If you have lighter cricket pads.
Sure. Sure.
You're going to be more easily able to run.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. It is about to go 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. I am chatting to Adam Pantanowitz. He is an electrical engineer, a biomedical engineer. He is a lecturer at Singularity University. And we're talking about ethics in the new world. We're going to be doing this every Tuesday. And each week we will focus on different areas of concern and of innovation.